And he said, are you the woman that came up to me?
That's so good. Miss the mark. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's a prime example of moving in a word of knowledge. That's a gift of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that later in time. You know, in times past, with charismatic movement, Pentecostal churches, you know, it's been real, yay, yay, verily, blah, blah, blah. But you can just go up and minister the love of God and the word that God puts in your heart for someone to encourage them about their time of transition, and it hits the mark. So the next time you see him, invite him and his family to church. There you go. Amen? That's good. Acts chapter 1. I'm starting a new series on the book of Acts. And I've been asking, I know you're going another series. How many we got going on at the same time? I know that. All right, just, I know it. Pray for me. That's all I can say. So, but I've been asking myself, I've been reading the book of Acts again, and I've been asking myself, what does this look like for my life in the 21st century? What does this look like for my life in the 21st century? And as I have done that, I have went back and I started reviewing some of the histories of God moving in the earth today. Many of you know that. I have a master's from Fuller, and it was a master's of divinity, but I intentionally tacked on a secondary degree to it called with an emphasis in cross-cultural studies, because I wanted to know what God was doing in other cultures today. How many understand that the United States of America is not necessarily definitive of what God's doing in the earth today? It's a part of what God's doing in the earth today, but there's a whole lot more that God's doing in the earth today besides just here. That means, it doesn't mean that he's not doing stuff here, but we need to begin to have global eyes and not just me, myself, and I, not just what my little world, because God is so much bigger than that. Now, if you'll get your eyes off of your world and get your eyes onto his world, He'll take care of your world. You know, He'll take care of your world. But when I started thinking about that, I just wanted to understand how God moves in other countries. And then with my PhD, it's actually in renewal studies. That's what's on the transcript. And renewal studies basically means that we endeavored to study the move of the Spirit from Genesis through Revelation and then throughout history. And as you read that, you begin to understand that God wants to impact earth. He wants to touch people's lives. And in His sovereignty, because I believe in the sovereignty of God, God can do whatever He wants to do. But in His sovereignty, for the most part, He has chosen to partner with you and I. You know, that's why I tell people lately, and they're talking about spiritual gifts, and yes, in the charismatic church, sometimes we hide behind, well, that's not my gifts. And here's the good news. Talking to people is not a spiritual gift. You just open your mouth and talk to people, you know. And you generally talk about the things that you love. You talk about the persons that you love. You talk about how you love your husband or how you love your wife, hopefully. Or how you love your children or how you love soccer or, you know, whatever it case to me. It's just being the light of the world to people. And God's delivering us from fear. And that's one of the things that we've been praying about this past week is how God's delivering us from certain things that's keeping us back from seeing the fullness of His goodness and mercy. You know, I've learned about, you know, the power, and in my own life, I've learned about the power of the name of Jesus. I hope to go back to Trinidad in June or July, I can't remember. Still working on those details. You're more than welcome to go with me. We'll have a great time, but you will need a vacation after we get back because I'm going to work the fool out of you. But when I was down there, and I remember I had a bunch of teenagers in college and career people with me, you know, and it was, you know, I was keeping up with them, bless God. And we were out in the public. We were just out in the public, you know, playing guitars. We went to a store and asked the store owner if it was all right if we just worshiped out front. And, of course, he's thinking, oh, that brings more people, so I'll sell more stuff, you know. So he said, yes, yes. And we were like three blocks down from the mosque. Muslim mosque there. There's a huge Muslim mosque there. They were kidnapping people and holding them for ransom so they could fund their terrorist activities. Fortunately, the government there's really cracked down on them, i.e. shot a bunch of them. But we were playing and whatnot, and so off in the distance, I'd see this lady coming, you know, and it reminded me of the person in the tombs when Jesus crossed the lake, with the exception, she did have clothes on. She wasn't naked. But she was coming up. She was cussing us. I mean, from one, and they speak English there. She was cussing us from one end to the other, hollering and screaming at us, go away, get out of here, go away, get out of here. And just hollering and screaming. And of course, the teenage, their eyes are this big around, you know. And I think mine was about half that size, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, what in the world, you know. At least in the United States, they just are calmly cuss you out. Well, this lady was going ballistic, and she was coming up. And so, I'm sitting there praying this really spiritual prayer. You want to know what it was? Help! Help me, God! And it was one of those things. That the Lord said, why are you asking me for help? All power and authority have been given to you. So I honestly heard that in my life. So I'm just sitting there waiting for her to come up a little bit closer. She's coming, hollering, spitting, and all kind of stuff. And she gets about from Miss Jean to me, and I just look at her, and I said, in the name of Jesus, scat! And she, like somebody had shot her, she turned around and ran away from us. How did you know scat's a spiritual word, by the way? I'm just letting you know that, you know. You see, that marked my life, you know. I learned something about Jesus honoring His name that day, you know. And as you study history and as you study things like the Welch Revival and Evans Roberts that was key to that revival and how over 30-something thousand people in 6 months came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. People were just sovereignly touched and prepared by God to receive the good news, and it was actually a precursor to the Azusa Street revival here in the United States. There were only a couple of years between them, and if you study history, you can see God weaving this this tapestry of His goodness, not just in the United States, but around the world. They begin to connect. And that's why you, when you hear of things happening in a country or in a particular place, and the Spirit is moving, and yes, lots of time it's different than what we are used to. But that doesn't mean it's not God. And it doesn't mean it is God. But when you see souls getting right with God, that is the primary evidence that it's a revival from God. I'll take the flesh as long as souls are getting involved and getting saved with God. I remember reading the Azusa Street Revival, and I just, you know, in my studies, I had to write on it and all the kind of, you learn all kind of great stuff when you study and research. Of course, the bad thing is that you learn a lot of great stuff when you're, you know, some stuff is kind of like, I wish I hadn't learned that. But people are people no matter where you go. People are people no matter where you go. And in the L.A. Times, you can research this. In the L.A. Times, fire department on several occasions were dispatched to 312 Azusa Street. That's where the revival was. It was basically a barn. And they were dispatched there because of reports of fire on the building. And when they got there, the building wasn't on fire, but there was tongues of fire on the roof, just flaming up from the roof. But it was a different type of fire. And they would get there and scratch their head. And in the L.A. Times, there's at least two times that the fire department was dispatched to go there to put out a fire. But it was tongues of fire from heaven, God giving His approval to what was going on there. And ironically, it was started by a one-eyed black man with hardly no education. And his pulpit was a fruit crate, you know. And they would, and sometimes he was so intense on God moving and it being by the Spirit of God, he'd get a box. This is in the research. Put a box on his head, and he'd scream out, "By Your Spirit, God, by Your Spirit, and not by the flesh," you know. So I'm thinking maybe I should start bringing a box. You see all of this, and it just, you keep tracing it back and tracing it back. Time doesn't allow me to talk about the Pietist and Jacob Spangler, and they got so tired of the of Christianity becoming an academic point of view that the church was losing its passion. And so God brought the Pietists up to breathe back the Spirit of God into the church. The Quakers, the Anabaptists, you can keep reading and reading. And every time where Satan would try to kill the church through religious activity or cold doctrine, God by his Spirit would always raise up and say, "No, this is not my heart." And he'd breathe in, touch people's lives. The reality of the relationship with God would begin to stir again. And of course, then you'd have the arguments, you know. You're not smart enough. This is of the flesh. This is not academic enough for us. And you see, listen, let me tell you something. Number one, God invented the academy, and He's smarter than anybody in the earth. But number two, He doesn't just share His mind with you, He shares His heart with you. You get a package deal. And so today, as we look at this, I'm thinking about our lives, and I'm thinking about all this stuff that where we've got here today. And we could talk about stuff normally, like, I mean, Bethel. I mean, they got 4,000 students coming to Bethel. I mean, the real estate people love Bethel Church. Got all these people coming in. They're starting new businesses. That's a sign of revival. When God's people get stirred and begin to move in His kingdom, it blesses the community. When I went out there, that one time I went out there, the lady looked at me and it was late. I was about an hour late. You know how planes things are. I was about an hour late. I didn't know if anybody was going to be there. You know, I think that was the first time I've ever rented a car from an airport. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was thinking, well, thank God I got enough money. I'll just get a taxi, you know. And she was there. I'm waiting on you. Oh, really? She said, "Are you with Bethel?" I said, "Well, no, I'm just coming to a conference." She said, "I'm giving you an upgrade. Just because I was coming to a conference." I said, "I'll take it." And it was one of those cars with the push button thing. And this is a redneck, all right? I understand I'm a redneck. I'd always had a key. You know, she gave me this thing, and I popped the little thing out. I said, that's the strangest looking key I've ever seen in my... So I get in there, and I'm looking. where do you stick this thing? You know, I'm looking all... And to make matters worse, I had to humble myself and walk back in and say, excuse me, how do you crank the car up? And she looked at me like, yep, you're a redneck. You definitely... She said, you matched the button. I said, oh, I knew that. I was just testing you. I was just... Four 4,000 students, they're planting churches around the world today. Randy Clark and his global mission projects that's going on. Was there flesh involved? Absolutely. But look at what's happening. Tens of thousands of lives are being touched with the gospel and the power of the gospel and people getting right with God. That's the acid test. If you got a little other stuff going on that's a little strange, we'll take that. We'll take that as long as lives are being touched and saints are being equipped and activated. We'll take it. And so I've been asking myself these days, what does that look like for us? You know, a lot of us are, we have to resist the temptation just to jump on the bad bandwagon and go there and say, okay, I'm going to copycat everything that you're doing. And 9.9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. You know why? Because that's not what God has for you. It's the same spirit. And it's the same results. Empowering God's people and seeing people get right with God and coming into the goodness of God's presence. And lives being touched and changed. Read with me, Acts chapter 1. You guys are sitting there going, when is there ever going to go to Acts chapter 1? I'm going to jump around a little bit. So, verse 4, it said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Somebody say wait. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, they're still thinking old school. They're still thinking that, you know, Jesus is going to kick the butchery of the Romans in Judea, and he's going to set up and make Israel great again. He's going to be the king, you know. And then he says, listen, no, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth, or my version says to the ends of the earth. So jump down to verse 12. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, and which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, and names all the apostles there. And they continued in one accord in prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then it goes on to talk about how because of Judas, they felt like that they were supposed to replace Judas. And in that, they get up and they do the religious thing. They pray and say, hey, God, we need to replace Judas. And so then what they did was something interesting. They cast lots. They gambled. They cast lots. And they were spiritual enough to say, hey, we're going to give you two choices, God. This guy and Matthias. And so, you know, we're going to cast lots and you show us which one we're supposed to have. You know, I don't know if one lot was blue and one lot was red. And you show us which one we're supposed to pick, you know. And maybe it was a little Rubik's Cube type of thing that had blue and red on it. They rolled it and then it showed up and it was Matthias. And so they replaced him. My first point about being a Books of Acts or a church is simply this. I want you to hear this today. I got 3 points for you, if I can find where I am in my notes. If you want Book of Acts realities, you've got to have Book of Acts priorities. If you want Book of Acts realities, you've got to have Book of Acts priorities. You never hear about Matthias again. You won't find him in Scripture. It's hard to even find him in history. And so many times with churches throughout, and even charismatic churches, we take our guidance from God with lots. When it says in John chapter 10 and verse 26 and 27 that my sheep, let me rephrase that, my people hear my voice. It's part of the relationship that we have with God. And God is addressing that. If we want to be a Book of Acts church, we've got to be a people whose relationship with God is so connected that He guides and directs us. So that when you maybe are working out and you look at someone and he said, hey, tell him I'm going to bless him and I know he's going through some transition and that I've got it all under control. Well, that sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? You want me to go up and tell this guy that I don't know, hey, I know what's going on in your life and I'm in control, I'm going to bless you. Well, thank God she obeyed, you know. Thank God she obeyed because it touched his life. It gave him encouragement. And so if you want Book of Acts realities, you've got to have Book of Acts priorities. All right? Now, let me look at this a little bit more because there's two chapters here that are night and day difference. Here's your homework. Just read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. And they're night and day difference. One, it's a gamble. One, we don't know. We're going to do a little lot thing, you know. One, people say, Terry, are you against fleece? You know, I'm not against fleece and all that kind of stuff. If that's where your faith is, then God bless you. But you're short-circuiting yourself because you're supposed to have a relationship with God where He speaks to you. And He tells you that He loves you and He directs you and He gives you insights to things about what's going on and He births things inside of you. And as you work with Him, listen, I'm telling you, you're not going to be perfect at it. But you will get results. Things will happen for you. Your life will change. Your marriage will change. Your kids will get better. Because you're hearing from God. And you're not leaving it up to just rote. But you're hearing from God. You want to be a Book of Acts church? Do I want to be a Book of Acts church? I've got to develop that heart that's sensitive to what He's doing and sensitive to His voice. So that when he, you know, I told you about Batman, didn't I? Didn't I tell you about Batman? I can't remember if I did. I was pumping gas the other day. Big old guy, looked like Sean. Well, he's a little bigger than Sean. But anyhow, he had a Batman shirt. I mean, it's just huge Batman shirt. It was kind of like, and I just, without thinking, I said, Batman! And I thought, oh, Lord, it came out. I said, I bet you're... Thank God I was quick on my feet, you know. I said, I bet your kids love you. He said, man, do they ever. And we started this conversation. And I just started prophesying over him. I just went up. I said, man, let me tell you, breakthrough's coming your way. And I just started seeing things in his life. And he said, dude, you don't know what this means to me. Thank you so much. Batman. I ended it by saying, when I was your age, I was going to have a Superman shirt. With a big ass, I said, but my chest wasn't big enough for the ass. He laughed. I connected with him. We're developing a relationship now. You see, religion said you should have gave him the four spiritual laws and told him he's going to hell and he needs to get right with God. But see, relationship says, man, I am so blessed. He started talking about how much he loved his kids. It just blessed me to hear his story. You know what I do now? I intentionally go to the same teller every time. I try. Let me put it that way. I try to go to the same teller. When I go to Publix or Walmart, I try. When I'm by myself, I try to go through the same checkout line with the same person there. You know why? Because I'm developing a relationship with that person. And I'm asking God, God, give me your heart for this person. Show me how I can bless this person. You know, maybe a word of knowledge of where they are in their family or something going on with their children. You know, he'll do that. People connect to that before they connect to any programs. You want Book of Acts results, you got to have Book of Acts priorities. It's the difference between Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. You see a timid people, not knowing what God's will is. Then the Spirit of God comes, and they're powerhouses, preaching the gospel, touching people's lives. Can I say it this way? Being foolish, at least in the eyes of the world. They were accused of being drunk. Now, there's that crazy stuff, you know. People say, well, in the Bible, they don't do crazy stuff. They don't act that way. Well, they were accused of being drunk. Peter had to get up and say, man, when's the last time that you had to get up and explain what was going on to somebody? They're not drunk like you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is that which the prophet Joel talked about, that he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. Mean people, nice people, colored people, pink people, yellow people, young people, old people. All flesh. Ever since Pentecost, listen, ever since Pentecost, that has been happening. Pouring out his Spirit. Pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. You know, when you live by casting lots, you live by chance. You live by coping. It's such a difference. Go to Acts chapter 13. Casting lots versus this. Listen to this. Now in the church, verse 1, there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Methadin, who had been brought in with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now listen, here it is. This is the night and day difference. You listen to this. And as they ministered to the Lord, fasted, the Holy Spirit said, set apart to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And then having fasted and prayed, they lay hands on them and sent them on their way. Now that is such a contrast between casting lots and hearing what God wants to say to you. Notice what happened there. Notice that they were just minding their own business. Why? They were just worshiping God. They were just having a good old time. Just worshiping God, and whether God would say anything or not, they were just worshiping God. They were in love with Him. And then God said, oh, let me just speak something here. Hey, I want you guys, set these guys apart and send them, because man, do I have something that's coming down the pike, and I'm going to partner with these guys to do it. Now, aren't you glad that they obeyed? Because that's the essence of how the Gentiles were brought into the church. We wouldn't be here today if they hadn't obeyed. The Holy Spirit said. You know, the problem with so many of us, and myself included, is that we like safe. We like it safe. But when you read the book of Acts, there's not a whole lot of safe here. They're just rambunctious and going. You know, they're just going after it. My son sent me a text, a photo thing on the whatever it's called. And he has a really nice play thing. What is that with the swing? What is that called? Swing sets, yeah. And he has a castle, you know, on one end, and you climb up in that thing, and then you have the slide that you go down on it. And so and then outside he has a little slide like this for little Evie, because you know she's younger. But Teddy, being Teddy, thought, hey, this slide's not big enough. So he grabs that slide, pulls it up into the castle, hooks it up with the other slide, you know, and so he's taking this picture of with the caption, yeah, one slide's not enough. And he's climbing up in this precarious position, you know, up in the air, getting on top of this other one, and he's zooming down that baby. I love that adventurous spirit. And I love the fact that I don't have to pay his hospital bills. But I'm afraid that we've lost the adventurous spirit. If you want Book of Acts results, you've got to have Book of Acts priorities. You know, I'm a voracious reader. I got, Nancy could tell you this, I got books in the every bathroom, and you know, especially the one in the back. I got books on the counter, books in my, don't even go in my office. Nancy calls it the black hole. And I've got books on, this is my nighttime reading. I've been reading the history of the Moravians. I mean, when you think about that, you probably think about the fact that this group of people, the Moravians, was God's answer to all the non-spiritual academic stuff that was going on, got in all kind of trouble with the Lutheran church and this church and that kind of church. There were the ones that had 100 years, 24-hour a day prayer meeting. They were the ones that God used. We have Moravian churches up in Pennsylvania right now. They're the ones that came over and was, this is before, it was before, because they were already sending missionaries to America before Wesley. Wesley was impacted by the Moravians because it was a storm and he was scared and thought he was going to die. And the Moravians were really going, hallelujah, we love you, Jesus. And he looked at him and go, I don't have that. And he actually met Count Zinzendorf, who was the guy that started it. 100 years. Listen, okay, pull your toes in just a little bit. I'm fixing to step on them, you know. 100 years, 24 hours a day. That's pretty significant, isn't it? 3 o'clock in the morning, getting after it. They didn't have three people praying. They had just 20, 30, 40, 50 people showing up at all. And they divided it up, and they came, they prayed. Lots of times they'd get so caught up, they'd forget that their hour was up, and they'd stay for 2 or 3 hours just praying. And then get up and go to work. 100 years. You know what killed them? I'm going to read it to you. Tired. Oh, wait a minute, that's not the right place. Let me read this to you. You know, this is the thing that'll just bless you, and this is also the thing that you'll go, oh, dear Jesus. The conferences was divided into three departments: College of Overseers, this is their government, they're starting to set up their government, College of Helpers, and College of Servants. And it was hard for English readers to realize the absolute power this board possessed. The secret lied in the brethren's use of the lot. It's talking about the secret of these particular governing bodies. Hitherto, the use of the lot had been haphazardous, and henceforth, it was a recognized principle of church government. At this synod, the brethren laid down the laws of that all elections, appointments, and important decisions should be ratified by the lot. And it was from this time forward that they started dying. And started praying and trying to hear from God, they used the lot. And they used the scripture in Acts chapter 1. And it went downhill from there. They even got to the point where if you wanted to marry someone, you'd go to your officials and they would cast the lot. And if the lot came up, no, you couldn't marry them. So I'm telling you, this is a more modern-day example of how it killed the move of God, because pretty quick after this, when they established this form of government, guess what dried up? The prayer. But before then, they were sending missionaries everywhere. South Africa, the continent of Africa, into the Middle East, America, the Bahamas. They have churches down there now. They're in the Bahamas. But you see, they're operating under a government that doesn't highlight the Spirit of God. And that's why they've lost their passion. You want Kingdom of God results? You want Book of Acts results? You've got to have Book of Acts priority. So it begs the question, all right, you ready? How's your relationship with God? I'm the preacher, I'm supposed to say that, but let that sink in. How's your relationship with God? Do you feel like that your life is just a life of chance? Do you, I was talking to some guy. He was describing his life. I said, man, you remind me of a pinball machine. You're just like the ball, and you're being bounced around all over the place, you know. And, you know, he said, yeah, I feel just like. I said, well, how's that working out for you? He said, it's not. And I'm thinking, well, maybe you need to make some changes. And, of course, I shared the gospel with him. Acts chapter 4, the next thing is this. Wait. Now, when we say wait, usually in the church when you say wait, you think of disappointment. This is a hard test. I hate waiting. I want what I want now. You know, but in the original language, in the Greek, in this verse where it says they went and they waited in Jerusalem, it's not passive. It is very active. And so they were praying. It's such a powerful word. But the biblical word has this idea of expectancy. When you are truly waiting in the presence of God, hearing from Him, something builds inside of you. It builds inside of you. But those that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, remember 31. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, if you wait, then this is what happens. Your strength is renewed. Sherry and I were joking on the way in. She said, I'm feeling so good today. I'm not tired, you know. I was kidding her. Come to my house. You can mow the yard every day and you'll be good and tired. And so when you get a good night's sleep, you'll wake up refreshed, you know. But when you're waiting on God, something is building inside of you. You know what it is? It's like pumping iron. I was out. Number one, I was out of country in Cuba, so I didn't work out. And then I was sick and I know better than to try to work out when I'm sick. And when I finally went back, what I was doing, I normally was do 210 pounds. I had to back it off 30 pounds, and that was an effort. And it was kind of like, well, if you don't lose it, use it, you lose it. And it was like I went there expecting. But it wasn't there because during that time, I was just laying around on the couch watching Netflix, you know, hoping Nancy would give me a bowl of ice cream. Now, ice cream is medicinal. You need ice cream when you're sick. It's better. You know, listen. It's what I said earlier. Listen, it says in Isaiah, it says something, you're going to renew your strength. Next thing is there's this mounting up things. You get wings. I love the pictures of the eagle when that thing is bred out like that and it's got a 10-foot wingspan. That wing is, have you ever been duck hunting and you're, and God bless the little duck, you know. He's coming in right where your blind is. And right before they touch down, they do this. You know, and it's kind of like just a bullseye right there. You just throw up, you know, whoop-ah! And you're going to have duck and rice that night, you know. But it's just something like that wingspan is just, it just kind of like, shoot me now. The drilling punts. So it's a mounting up. Listen, what's mounting up in you? You know, what's mounting up in you? I was praying the other day, and I shared it with the group one night when we were praying down here. I've just been asking God, please give me new eyes. I need new eyes. I've got to change. I need to see stuff differently. And so I'm exposing myself to other ministries and stuff. And in prayer, I heard these three words, and I haven't worked it out yet. But I'm going to work it out in some areas. But number one, see the need. Number two, understand the need. It's one thing to see, oh my God, we got a bunch of, convicted felons that are out in the world and they need help. They need somebody to love them. You know, it's another thing to go talk to them and say, what do you really need? Help me to understand. How could I, if I was like your family member, which I'm not, what could I do to bless you? What could I do to assist you? It could be, I haven't done that yet, but I mean, it could be like, I need education. I need to learn, when I was at Zaxby's, when I was hiring some of these high school students, and I don't know what this says about our education system, they couldn't even count change back. So I said, where did you graduate? And they said, oh, I graduated such and such. So I went there, and I said, I need to talk to somebody. And they said, why? I said, I just need to talk to somebody. And they came in, and I said, my name's so-and-so. I work at Zaxby's. He said, oh, I remember you. I see you down there. Yeah, you got the blue shirt. I said, yeah, I'm the power guy. And he said, well, what are you here for? I said, I just hired one of your students, and they can't even count change back. Really? I said, yeah. You might want to, have money 101, because if I can't hire you, nobody can hire your students graduate. And he had a diploma. So it may be something that simple. See the need, understand the need, and then meet the need. What if we all had an attitude that said, God, I say, I don't know what my gift is. I can tell you what one of your primary gifts is, and that is serving. Jesus came to serve. See the need, understand the need, meet the need. What if every one of us began to pray that way? I mean, really, just think about that for a moment. That leads me to Acts chapter 2, real quickly. I got 15 more minutes, and I'll let you go. I haven't heard any screams, so evidently the heart operation is going good back there. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they, here it is, ready? They continually steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst those as anyone who had need. So continuing daily from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And they added, and the Lord added to the church daily as those that were being saved. Listen, this is a prime example. They saw the need, they understood the need, and they met the need. There are some folks that needed help, and they prayed about it, and evidently they said, hey, if anybody wants to help here, we'll be sure and get the need, the funds, the necessary funds and help to those that are in need. And so they just all got moved on God, and they started selling stuff. They saw the need, they understood the need, and then everybody was touched. And the Bible says fear fell on them, the whole place. You know why? Because it had never been done before. These people love each other. Further over in Acts, you know what it says about those type of guys? Those that have turned the world upside down have come here. It's putting some rubber to the road here. It's putting some rubber. So you see this in this Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, you see worship. That's why we're, it's one of the reasons why I'm making the change. We're going to have worship practice. We're going to get better at it. It's already good, but we're going to push into it and get some real significant excellence in it. There was worship there. Number 2 was community. We're doing that today over at the Shebos. I'm so thankful that they opened up, and go Falcons. Amen. Amen. Sorry, I repent. No, I don't. Loving the body of Christ. Then number three is being on mission with God. You got to have all of them. Worship. You got to have worship. You got to have community. And you got to be on mission with God. Let me tell you something. Our mission, somebody once said, what's your vision? And my vision was always been way too long. And it was kind of like after I tell them, they go, I can't remember all that. And I say, yeah, well, you're right. Here's our vision. You ready? We're going to be a Book of Acts church. That's simple enough, isn't it? Yeah. What's your vision? We're going to be a Book of Acts church. That's what we're going to be. Yeah. Worship. You know, we got the soaking presence of God Friday thing going on, you know. That's good. I remember when I could go to the previous ones, on two occasions, smoke filled the place. And we weren't lighting candles either. I mean, it just filled up, you know. It's kind of like, ooh. And you know, the first thing you do when you think about that and you see that, the first thing you do, you hit the floor. Boom. The next thing you do is, if there's any sin in me, God, go ahead and get it. I know. Whatever, Lord. Community, worship. How can we impact our community with the mission of God? How do I love my neighbor? And that leads me back to what I said earlier. I believe in the days ahead, you and me, we're going to start seeing needs. We're going to investigate what those needs are, what they're really like to the people that's involved in it. And then we're going to go, you know what, I can meet that need. I might not be able to meet it in its entirety, but I can meet it in three or four families' lives. I can love on a couple of families. I can, yeah.
I'm glad you said this. I'm sorry I had to be out of the book when I'm listening. But right now, Terry has a heart that I've been having for a long time.
Let me piggyback on that. I met Joshua. You don't mind if I tell us a little bit? Okay. I met Joshua. Actually, it was from a friend of a friend, and they said, hey, I know a young man by Joshua, and he said, would you be willing to, you know, just introduce yourself to him? I said, well, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to do that. So we connected. I took him out. I took him out for lunch and stuff. Let me tell you something about the change that's in, and we do that quite regularly still. And yes, he pays, and then I pay, and then he pays. But when he pays, we try to go to get a steak. No, I'm teasing. No, I'm teasing. One of the things that changed inside of me, and this is because I've been spending time in prayer, because there would have been a time in my life when I would have looked at him and said, you got this, 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 and this, and you sorry dog, you need to get right with God, and blah, 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 and all this other kind of stuff. But see, all that's unchanged inside of me. Because you see, I've learned that walking with Jesus is about loving people. Amen. And I've also learned I ain't the Holy Ghost. The other day he looked at me, and we were out eating, he looked at me and he said, "You sure don't talk much." And I said, "Well, I'm enjoying your story, you know." But we have a relationship with each other. And you know, I'm learning as much from him as he's learning from me. And today he walked in and he said, "Man, I got a friend, and evidently he's been talking about what's going on." And it happened to be a couple. And the wife said, "Can I start going to your church?" I didn't do anything. As far as I know, all he did was just run his mouth about, "Hey, I'm having a good time and going here, and this is what's going on," and not real sure about the husband, you know. So he was telling me that the husband was a little iffy. I said, you know, the old Terry would say, "Well, we'll just pray for God to deal with him." But the new Terry, you know what the new Terry said? I said, "Tell him I'll come over and sit down, and I'll take him out for lunch, and I'll answer any questions they have about what I'm doing and who I am." And he said, "Good, another free meal." No, I'm teasing. Sean was one of my youth pastors for a few months, but then he went on. Real quickly, all right, see the need, understand the need, meet the need. Guys, listen, we've got to change. I've got to change. And I don't want to sit up here and preach about what I'm changing. I want you to see it. All right. And I'm Holy Ghost through and through. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I move in the gifts of the Spirit. I talk to people about Jesus all the time. And I was telling Earl or somebody earlier that, you know, people say, "Well, that's not my gift." Well, you know, talking to people is not a spiritual gift. I'm sorry. It's just not. You know. Yes. Y'all guys are going to be preaching my sermon here. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, say it. Yeah. Can I get a witness? I used to do it.
My son-in-law works with people that I think one of the comments one of them says, "Hey, I got
That's a good segue. That's a good segue, because I want to make this point. And the point for this one about waiting on God and you get worship, community, and mission is this. There is nothing like encountering God with somebody else. Now, does that mean we compromise our convictions? I don't drink. Now, my older sons, they'll have a beer. I don't do it. They challenged me to have a beer when I graduated with my PhD. That's the last time I've had a beer. And I drank that beer and I went, I remember why I don't drink this stuff. It was awful. It was just awful. How do you drink that? And I did that. I thought it was cool at the time, but it wasn't. There's nothing like encountering God with another person. All right? You do it here. We can do it here on Sunday mornings. We can encounter God on our throne room nights. But another person is someone that you don't normally hang with. You know, who is Jesus most comfortable with? Yes. A Coke and Jack Daniels. I mean, you know, who is he comfortable with? I hope I'm not ringing your bell. Well, actually, I do. I hope I am ringing your bell. You want to have Book of Acts realities, you got to have Book of Acts priorities. You got to pray and wait. And you've got to learn how to encounter people with God and enjoy the process. You know, I haven't beat Josh in the head with the Bible yet. You know, actually, he's starting to beg me. The other day, he looked at me and he said, I get back to you. I got to do this, Mike. I'm sorry. He looked at me and he said, you need to teach me. I said, I've been waiting for the invitation. I said, I'll flat do that. And he blessed me because he said, I know you got wisdom. I said, well, don't tell my wife. In Acts chapter 1, the third point is this, and I'll close it down with it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, and they continued with one accord in prayers and supplications with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The New American Standard says then that they devoted themselves to prayer. And that's my last point about a New Testament church. That's my last point about the Book of Acts church. It was devotion. They had devotion. They had devotion for one another, and they had devotion for sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. My son, Jason, was a tremendous soccer player, and sometimes I wonder if we missed it by not encouraging him to go pro. He was that good. And he would get out in the backyard, and I'm not exaggerating. My wife can testify that he'd get out in the backyard, and he'd juggle that ball. And then he'd go with this one. And then he'd get over here with this one. And it wasn't like 20 or 30 times. It was hundreds of times without dropping the ball. I mean, he reminded me, you know, when they go, hurt, 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 hurt. You know, and let me tell you something. He was devoted. Hours on end. That's why he made first string. And he was huge. I mean, he pumped iron. He was big, as hard as a rock. And people would get mad at him on the other team because he was so good. We called him Mr. Juggles. I'd be up there, go, Mr. Juggles! You know, he'd be running that. And sometimes you know how they get in the flesh and they want to hurt you. And they go, you know what, I'm just going to put him on the ground. And the other guy would just run into him full steam. Bam! And it was like a flea hitting a freight train. You know, he'd be, keep on, did something happen? And the guy's laying on the ground back there, you know. He was MPB, he made all kinds of scores. He was devoted. I learned something about devoted people. Those that are not devoted, that devotion looks ridiculous. So, I wonder how many people look at my devotion toward God and think, that's ridiculous. But the ironic part was, the more he did it, the more I'd go get a cup of coffee and just sit out here and watch him. 1, 2, 103, 158, 204, 307. Go for 500! Does my prayer life and my passion look ridiculous to other people? you guys are drunk. No, no, we're not. This is God's goodness. Don't settle for casting lots when you can have a relationship with God. It may look ridiculous to begin with, but you'll become the envy of all your friends because of the favor of God that's on your life. Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. All these things will be added to you. That's what it says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All right, pull your toes in just a little bit. What's being added to your life? I mean, I'm serious. What? Somebody says problems, troubles. I mean, really, what? What's being added? Josh has been added to my life. I'm enriched by it. Oh, by the way, Five Guys is opening tomorrow. Yeah, well, okay. He's been added to my life, and I am richer for it. We're richer that he's here for, you know. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Now that's church growth. That's church growth. Last point, this is it. Devotion demands a power beyond religion. You want a Book of Acts church? You want Book of Acts realities? You got to have Book of Acts priorities. You want to see the Book of Acts? Then you've got to have the joy of investing your life in other people. There's nothing like experiencing God with somebody else. You want to have devotion? You're going to have it if we're going to be Book of Acts people. But it's got to be more than religion. And it's got to be more than what it's used to be. We got to be open to God doing something new in our midst. Now I want to challenge you with this, and I'll pray for you. I want to pray for you that you'll see the need. I want to pray that you'll understand the needs that are out there. And I want to pray that God gives you the grace to begin to minister and affect that need. Just one person, one family, maybe one group of people, whatever it may be. And you take all that God's invested in you, all the love of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the power of God. All right, one last testimony. My car, Jason's car, he got Nancy's old Zoom Zoom, a Honda Sentiment, 225,000 miles. Yeah, I believe in 500,000, you know. And the starter went out on it, so I had to go and call and go where it was and call the guy, and they came up. And so the guy gets out, and he's doing this. And I went, So, you know, he gets it on up. You know, Honda Civics are so easy to get on those things. They have a little hook there right underneath. You just pull it straight up. It's wonderful. You know, it's just absolutely wonderful. I mean, 15 minutes we had it at the shop. He led that thing down. And I walked over to him. I got a card. You know, I have cards. I got a card, wrote my name and number on it, and I looked at him. And he's a redneck. He's a Bubba. You know, he was a Bubba. I got a friend up in Valdosta that says, "You sure do hide your education good." Thank you. And I looked at him, and his name was Artie. And you may know Artie, I don't know. And I said, "Artie." He said, "Yeah, man." And I said, "Can you give me a receipt for that? Because I paid for it." He said, "Yeah, no problem." He wrote it out. I said, "Artie, I'm a Jesus follower." He said, "What?" I said, I follow Jesus. Do you know Jesus?" "Yeah, he's that guy in the Bible." I said, "Yeah, he is in the Bible." I said, "I love praying for people." I said, "I noticed you got that." And he told me he's got stents in his legs down here. I said, "Well, man, I didn't..." I thought they just put them in the hearts, you know. I didn't know they put them in all down. He said, yeah. He said, but man, I can't walk 50 feet. I have to sit down. I'm so tired. I said, can I pray for God to heal you? You know what he said? Will you? I said, yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And he, you know how they are. He took his hat off, you know, because they're being respectful. Took his hat off, and I laid hands on him. Man, I prayed heaven all over him. I spit on him, all kind of stuff. I mean, I got so excited praying for him. He put his hat back on, and he said, I ain't never been prayed like that before. I gave him my card. I said, he said, what? I said, that's my number. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, when God touches you, I want you to call me because I got something else for you. You do? I said, yeah, I sure do. So I'm waiting for his call. Now, I don't know if God's going to heal. I don't know. I haven't been, I don't do the healing anyway. God does the healing. Yeah. But I do have the receipt with his business phone number on it. Are you hearing me? We're charismatic Christians, and most of the time we measure our spirituality about how good the Sunday morning was. And that is not it. It's about how the book of Acts is forming our paradigm, the way we think, and how we share the love of God with people that sometimes are just not lovely. Stand with me real quick. I just am crazy enough to believe if God is doing this to me, that he's going to do it to you too. Are you willing to change? Now, I mean it. Are you willing to change? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to hell. You know that. I'm not talking about spiritual eternal security and things of that nature. I'm telling you that God is saying, hey, I got much more. I've got much more for you guys. So are you willing to change? Are you willing to say, I'll try? So if you are, just lift your hands up as an expression of your faith. Now, Father, I'm not manipulating these people to do this. I've tried to preach what you put on my heart to preach. I'm not the best, but I ain't the worst either. So we have our hands up today, which is telling you that we're willing to change. And that's not a negative thing for us. It just means that we know there's so much more for us to experience. It with you, your love, your mercy, your grace, your power, with other people. Not just with our community of faith. That's great. We're going to do that tonight over at the Shelbos, rooting for our favorite team. But Lord, with those that are indifferent and, quite frankly, those that really don't understand us. And it's not their fault that they don't understand us. Frankly, it's our fault that they don't understand us. I pray that in the days ahead, that we truly would be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Show us and teach us how to love people. And that's our prayer today. And the reason why is because we want to be a Book of Acts church. In Jesus' name we thank you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you for coming. Hug somebody before you leave. Angel, thank you so much for coming. I hope you can come back. All right.